How would you have reacted if, as an impressionable 5-year-old, you were watching TV one night and suddenly, on screen, flying monkeys came and took your mother away? Well, welcome to Lorna Luft's world. Her mother was Judy Garland, and the movie she was watching that night, of course, was The Wizard of Oz. Over the years, Lorna Luft learned a lot about her famous mom and learned how to separate the truth she knew from being at home, in her own home, from what was being written and said about Judy Garland in public. In 1998, I interviewed Lorna Luft when she wrote a book called Me and My Shadows, a Family Memoir.
Whenever I get a book in the mail that is written by an offspring of a celebrity, ever since Mommy Dearest, I kind of cringe and kind of flinch a little bit. Thank you. This is not Mommy Dearest.
Oh, no, it is not. It is not. I would never do that because I didn't grow up like that. I didn't grow up like that. So how could I write something like that?
Well, it occurs to me that one of the major myths, if not the major myth that you're trying to refute in here, correct me if I'm wrong, is that your mother was in any way a bad mother.
No, exactly. She was never a bad mother. And she was, you know, the other myth was that she was unloved and tragic. Well, I mean, that's a lot of crap, too. So I basically wanted to say, I've got to straighten out these stories because none of those authors were ever in my house.
I suppose anybody who dies too young is tragic.
Oh, yeah, but also, look, we know that she had problems. I mean, that's not something that, you know, everyone's going to say, gee, I didn't know that. I think you'd have to be pretty, ostrich-like if you didn't realize that. But the point is that I wanted to make sure that people knew why, people knew how, and people knew what it did and the end result.
Well, something that you pointed out in the book that really just hit me between the eyes like a sledgehammer was, and must have maybe hit you the same way, that when your mother passed away, you were at that point about the same age that she had been when she began using prescription drugs.
I was older. I was 16. My mom was 14.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but she wasn't when she was when she began using, when she was given is more the term, because she was given these drugs by a doctor. And that made it okay. That made it all right in those days. But you've got to remember, it was 1939. So there were different times. We didn't have the education. We didn't have the know-how. We didn't have the knowledge. All of a sudden, we had this factory studio called MGM that the statistics, for those of you listening that sort of don't understand how big it was, they did 3,500 makeups an hour. They put a movie a week into theaters, and their telephone bill was the same as New York City.
Oh,
yeah, so it was a true factory. So these, the people that were performers and working there were not people, they were products.
They were commodities.
They were commodities. And whatever it took to keep the commodity working, that's what they did. Was it irresponsible? Yes. Do I blame them? No, because they did not have the education. And I really don't believe that they went out to destroy these people or their lives.
Well, and time for another myth, that MGM somehow used up your mother, squeezed out all it could out of this commodity, and then hung her out to dry.
That's not true either. First of all, they did. They did squeeze a lot out of her.
As they did every one of those days.
Yeah, but the point also was that she was a child, too. All right? They used a great deal of people to a great extent, but they also, these weren't children. So it was the children that this happened to. I think when you're 14 years old, it's such a complicated middle in-between age anyway, and to be sort of stripped down and be told that your nose turns up too much and your teeth aren't right and your neck's too small and you're barrel-chested and have all these things be told you, well, that sort of wrecks your self-esteem. And then to be told, well, you're gaining weight, so you've got to take this. And that's going to have a lot of, and then your father passes away, and then, so all of these things happened to her. And I wanted to make sure that people understood that it wasn't, she was a real victim, and she didn't have a choice. And so when it all started to go out of control, that this there was no one there to help her, no one there to stop her, because we didn't know how.
Well, if the doctors then had known what doctors today know, they would have identified her as genetically predisposed to substance abuse. They would have. They probably wouldn't have put her on the stuff in the first place.
You don't put a 14-year-old kid on Benzedrine. Are you crazy today? Forget about it. You wouldn't do it. So, but we didn't know things then. They didn't know. So that's why when people ask me, you don't blame the studios? No, I don't blame the studios.
Maybe it's time for another myth. Did your mother take her own life?
No. No. My mother's ego. She loved life. She loved us. She loved herself. All right? She would have never, ever, ever done that. All right? What happened was she got up in the middle of the night and she took that one pill that was one too many. And if it wasn't going to happen then, it might have happened a week before or a week after, or we don't know. But that's what happens. You never know. And that's the tragedy of the addictive personality.
A few years ago, Yul Brynner's son, Rock, wrote a great book about his dad and told this most poignant story about the first time that he was sitting watching his dad in The King and I on stage and how horrified he was when his father died at the end of the show. And I'm reminded of that story when you told the story about the first time you saw The Wizard of Oz on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was five. So watching my mother being taken away by flying monkeys was really, really scary. And it was a frightening experience, and even to this day, I mean, when my children were real young, I didn't let them watch it until they were old enough that I think that I made sure that I sat with them and said, look, this is how this worked and all of that, because I didn't want them to be frightened like I was.
I had nightmares myself. That hourglass thing really...
Absolutely. Margaret Hamilton scared everybody, but she was such a nice woman.
She scared me until the Maxwell House commercials. Then I had
She was a lovely, lovely lady.
In later years, Lorna Luff learned that living a life of her own, apart from the shadow of being Judy Garland's daughter, was a big challenge.
Both my parents have died, so I experienced the grief, went to the funeral. But as you point out in the book, I've been able to move on. People don't stop me on the street, and every single day of my life, and remind me of how much my mother meant to them, how much my father meant to them, how much they adore my father's movies, it doesn't happen. I've been able to go out. If people recognize me, they recognize me for me.
Mm-hmm.
When people recognize you on the street, do they recognize you for you, for Grease 2, or for Trapper John, or do they recognize you for your mother?
Both. Both. And it happens to me every day, and it's something that you just live with, because it's not going to go away. I went into the hotel last night. I was really exhausted. As I walked through the lobby, the pianist started playing Over the Rainbow. And they do it all the time, and I say that in the book, and they think it's a very big compliment, which it is, because I've turned it into a positive experience now. And instead of thinking, oh, this is so painful to listen to because she's gone, I think that's my guardian angel. And that's what makes it great. So I think it's all in the way you view it, so that when people come over to you and constantly, you know, I loved your mom and all that, the best thing to do is say thank you, because it takes a lot for them to come over to you and say that. And they did love her. But it is, I must say, it is odd to have people come to me and say, she was part of my family. And I think to myself, that's very nice, but that's odd. It's also odd to turn on Geraldo and see men dressed up as members of my family. I said that to Geraldo, and then he fell on the floor laughing. And it's true, because it's very odd to turn on a television and hear your daughter say, Mommy, isn't that Grandma? And it's a guy.
In recent years, Lorna has successfully fought cancer and is now 66. That's almost 20 years older than her mother was when she died in 1969. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.